望。
Hamid Karzai, who's supposedly running Afghanistan, is grabbing the bags of money from Iran. In Chicago, they're bracing for a huge storm, and then there's the foreclosure issue. And where are we on that? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Drive around the neighborhood. I know it's what I say all the time, and I've been saying it for the last 2 years, but it's the truth. If you want to see what's happening with your property value, that's what you have to do. Go a couple miles out and then drive in and just take a look. So how about this? The Obama administration's signature anti-foreclosure effort that was unveiled in 2009 was supposed to help maybe 4 million homeowners modify their mortgages. But now it's been a huge blunder, and it risks even more public fury and mistrust. That's what a federal audit is saying that was released on Monday. So very far from helping at-risk homeowners, the actual Home Affordable Modification Program has some people who own homes in a terrible predicament. That's according to the Special Inspector General for the Troubled Assets Relief Program. You know it, TARP. So what happened was the Treasury Department set about $50 billion aside from TARP, plus another $25 billion from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two worst names I've ever heard, to give mortgage servicers $1,000 incentives to reduce monthly mortgage payments by modifying the people who were eligible. But more people have been actually thrown out of the program than have been helped by it. And that's one of the big problems. And then, of course, there's just the good old-fashioned what's going on with the foreclosure issue because of all the robo-signing and people that were given incentives to just push paperwork through. So the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, had this to say about home sales, which actually showed that existing home sales were up by 10%. That's the figure that was released on Monday. And what about the sticky foreclosure issue? Here's what Bernanke said.
We are looking intensively at the firm's policies, procedures, and internal controls related to foreclosures and seeking to determine whether systematic weaknesses are leading to improper foreclosures. With housing markets still weak, high levels of mortgage distress may well persist for some time to come.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good bet because the program's not working. That was supposed to help people that were in trouble and then got a lot of other people upset because they didn't get the handout or let me help you up, the leg up, so to speak. And then, of course, there was the robo-signing craziness that pushes it even worse, even though existing homes, 10% is the number that showed up that was up 10%. That certainly seems to be a bright spot anyway. And it goes back to the whole location thing. But I think this foreclosure litigation, because that's what's going to happen, is going to be very, very damaging to the housing market overall. I hope you like your house because you might be staying in it for quite some time. Let's just say that. That's how bad I think it is. Let's move to what I mentioned at the top about the Afghanistan president. And, of course, he's railing against America as he goes off in a crazy diatribe. Every once in a while, that happens with Karzai when he gets a leg up, whether it's from the WikiLeaks bounce or whether, sadly, there's more civilian casualties, whatever it is. So Karzai admitted that his chief of staff had received bags of money from Iran, bags of money, but insisted that the payment was, hey, it's transparent. It was a form of aid from a friendly country. So the cash payments are done by lots of different countries, according to Karzai. And the chief of staff, I guess, received regular bucks from Iran. I don't know. That seems like, wouldn't they be peddling influence? I'd be a little bit concerned about that, all the money that we're pumping into that country. But yet, once again, this is nothing hidden. Karzai got a little bit upset about the whole payment thing. I don't think they wanted to really necessarily have that out there, even though he said this is nothing hidden. We're grateful for Iranian help in this regard. The United States is doing the same. They're providing cash to some of our offices. Boy, they're getting bags of money all over the place. I think that they need to shine a big fat light over what's going on with the money and what's going on with Iran for the obvious reasons. I don't have to spell them out for all of you. This audience is way too smart for that. But Karzai obviously is not smart and does not get it. Because what does money do? Follow the money. We say it all the time on this show. And if he's in bed, seriously in bed, with Ahmadinejad, you know, what do you think? And what do they want in return for the money? They want what? Just peace on earth? A good relationship? I don't think so. I think there's probably more to that story, but trust me, they'll never get it out of Karzai. They will never get it out of him. So money means that Iran wants something in return. All right, batten the hatches. It was never more true, or has never been more true, for the people who live in Chicago. When you see a headline, watch out, the storm could be the worst in 70 years. And you think of a place like Chicago and the kind of storms they've had over the years. My goodness, maybe it's time to call in sick to work. That's how bad it could be. And what it is thunderstorms and winds, they say, is going to make for one of the most dangerous storms. The temperatures on Monday hit the 70s with partly sunny skies. But when Tuesday comes around, beware, because the thunderstorms and the cold front, they're saying damaging winds. There's a chance of tornadoes, and it's going to happen all during rush hour, start like 4 in the morning and go through 9. When they have that squall line, the strong straight line winds, that's when they'll be really, really heavy. So if you've got gusts of up to 55 miles an hour and you're walking along Lake Michigan, yeah, that could be, that means there might be some flying objects, some trees could go down, power outages. You know what I'm saying. It's obvious what could happen there. We were talking on the show about cholera and the fact that poor Haiti, after being slammed with the earthquake, and then they've got Tent City, and they're worried about that outside of Port-au-Prince. So you have almost 300 people with cholera and over 1,000 coming down with the symptoms. How do you stop it from becoming a massive epidemic is the key thing here. Here's what Dr. Stephen Calderwood had to say about it being treatable, and very rare in the U.S., by the way.
If you had severe cholera without treatment, you'd be looking at a mortality rate of probably 50% or higher. But with appropriate treatment, the mortality rate should be well under 1%. In many endemic areas, it's zero. The last major outbreak of cholera in the United States was more than 100 years ago. There are very small numbers of cases continuing now, maybe 5 or 10 per year at most.
Wow, that's it's odd to think about that, isn't it? What a difference. You talk about a third world country. I mean, not odd, but it's obvious. You look at Haiti and everything that they've been through and the kind of lifestyle they have versus the amenities and the way we live in the United States. And if you did have cholera, as the doc says, it's such a rare thing in the U.S. But in the case of Haiti, the concern is you have 1.3 million people in those tents, and what a disaster that could be. Hey, coming up later on the show, we're going to kick it around with one of my favorite lawyers on some big, bad, burning legal issues. That includes Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then some of the Brett Favre stuff that we've been talking about, and whether or not he'll actually get nailed by the NFL for anything off field. So hang with us.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and cross food off your to-do list.
Conversation with NFL football about what happened in the week with Ed Berliner in another couple of minutes, another 20 minutes or so. But before we get to that, a couple of other things, including what happened at the Mexican border with a big shooting there. Shocker, huh? Shooting, people dead at the Mexican border. I know you're surprised. Anyway, we'll get to the latest row there. But before we do that, some problems in Italy and the sounds of what's happening in Italy over a landfill has turned into a nightmare. Take a listen to what it sounded like with the screams and I think some of the other things, the sirens that you can catch in the background. Yeah, and to flush it out a little bit more for you, the Italian government is saying that they're not going to continue the construction of this landfill near Naples. It's pretty controversial, but even in saying that, that was not enough for the people who decided, you know, we don't believe you, we're going to go out and protest on Saturday night. So the cops get called, you can hear pretty much the sounds of that in the background, and what the deal is they weren't just protesting the people in Naples. They weren't protesting the building of just this landfill, but what they saw as the conditions of an existing landfill that they say is going to kill them. That's a health hazard and an environmental disaster. So they wanted the government to do something about the situation, that it was too dangerous for the children and for other people that were there. So because of all of the news and all of the stories that have been done and all of, I think, the people in Naples aware of what's going on, they're concerned about the hazards from this current landfill and then the possibility of the second one. And so then once the government said, no, we're not going to do this, you still had maybe 1,000 people that were protesting, or so they were actually blocking the roads that led up to the landfill. And the people who actually got into it with the police, it was probably maybe a dozen or so of that entire group. Just goes to show you never know what's around the corner. And speaking of not knowing what's around the corner, Hamid Karzai has been talking lately about bin Laden and what's happening with the Taliban and what's happening with corruption in his own government. And it's interesting because he's done a couple of weeks ago, he did an interview on Larry King, and he was talking about rumors there as the fact that he might be a manic depressive. I'll tell you the one thing he hasn't, to me, addressed head on, though, is what's this really, truly, honestly, what is the deal with his family and his brother? How we have these ties to this government where Karzai is in for another 6 years is just beyond me, because I can't imagine that under Karzai's reign, incredible things are going to take place. I mean, you can already see how much he's dropped the ball in the years leading up to this previous election. And let's face it, I mean, look, they're riddled with corruption there. That's what it is. It's what hand is in what pocket. And they never can seem to get rid of that shroud of doubt. The Taliban seems to get stronger, even if the numbers are smaller, seems to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that scares me, because the end date in Afghanistan, there is no end date. So after, 20 years, we're just going to suddenly slurk away? Is it going to be 15 years? How many years do we go through the paces and deploy this voluntary military until enough is enough, until we just simply flat out have to call, not truce, but have to throw up our hands and say, you know, we're out of this and we're going to keep some people behind? To me, that's the scariest thing, is this elusive nature of this war. There's no, we're throwing a bomb and we're turning this whole area into glass if you don't stop and put down your weapons and do whatever. And trying to go in the hills and try to flush people out, and frankly, how our military has to deal with the rules of engagement, it's just outrageous. Speaking of outrageous, the death toll from a shooting at a house party was 14 in the last count, and this was the Chihuahua State Attorney General, Carlos Manuel Salas, saying that 14 people were injured when somebody attacked a bunch of young people at a house, just came in and started to open fire. The people that were killed were between the ages of 14 and 30. Some of the kids were as young as 7 and 11 that were injured, and apparently from all kinds of backgrounds. Not far from a home where a cartel member stormed a house party back in January, killing about 15 people, and most of the people that were shot were young and had no ties to organized crime. So this is just a random shooting, probably as a warning is what they think. But that's 30. That's more than 30, really. And then you throw in the injuries. Man, I'd say that Mexico's in more trouble than you can imagine. So the Human Rights Commission is sending a team into the neighborhood. Boy, that's going to really help those bereaved parents, isn't it? Yeah, call me sarcastic. I'm just saying, sorry that once again this happened right here in your own backyard. We thought we were taking the necessary precautions to do what had to be done, but unfortunately, you know what, in the end, it wasn't enough. All right, the big story and the story that we're going to be talking about a lot, obviously, this entire week and heading into next week is the midterm elections. The midterm elections are important, so important this time around, because there's a chance that a lot of the incumbents who haven't done, I think even over the course of so many years, a lot of what they've promised to do may find themselves without a job. But when I say incumbents, that could mean some Republican incumbents too. So there's this anti-incumbent wave that has pushed the Republicans to the forefront, but will it push them to ultimately the majorities in the House and the Senate, or do the Democrats keep pressing on in these rallies to get the vote out and get more Democrats to vote? I mean, this midterm election comes down to 8 days. 8 days with this vote counting going on, basically 9 days if you want to count the vote stuff. So the two parties now are pulling off, I think, all the gloves if they haven't, and pulling out all the stops at this point. Michael Steele, the Republican National Committee Chairman, pretty confident that that GOP wave will stand and they're going to win control of both chambers and even the state legislatures in a condemnation, if you will, of the president and the Democratic policies. If that does happen, I think that the biggest blow to the Democrats was probably health care and the economy. I mean, one and two, or put it either way you want to put it, in whatever order. But the voters are just so tired that they feel like they have not been listened to. I think that's true. And the bank's too big to fail was the real poke in the eye. So on the heels of that happening, the economic collapse, the health care law that has people still wondering what's going to happen to their coverage, how much is it going to go up when it's all said and done, and ultimately the certain years kick in, and that scares people to death, I think. And then taxes. Ultimately, what are your taxes going to go up to? All right, stay with us. Coming up next, some interesting things as we are kicking the can down the road here on ATN.
The winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter special now at HerbalHealer.com.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Go to hempusa.org, go to hempusa.org, and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org and call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
This is George Whitehurst Berry. As an avid outdoorsman doing professional photography of some of the most remote regions of the American Southwest, I swear by the Gusset Clothing Company. Diamond Gusset jeans are the jeans I've been looking for years. The unique Gusset design, a technological breakthrough, was inspired by the needs of martial arts masters for more freedom of movement in their workouts. Diamond Gusset jeans are the most rugged, durable, flexible, and comfortable on planet Earth. Timeless style and good looks with rugged, superior quality made in USA cotton, superior weaving techniques, more stitches per inch, and higher quality standards go into every jean the Gusset Clothing Company makes before they proudly put on the label Made in USA. Buy American at GussetClothing.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T clothing.com. When you buy Gusset Clothing, put the word crash in the coupon code to receive free shipping.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Let's start with the sad stuff here in odds and ends. Boy, could it get any worse in Haiti after that miserable earthquake in, let's face it, a third world country? Now they're saying that aid workers are just scrambling to keep a cholera outbreak from really exploding even worse. It's that squalor that they find in the camps in Port-au-Prince where you have 1.3 million or so survivors living on top of each other. 250 people, rather, are dead, and 3,000 more are sick. 5 cholera patients have been reported in the capital so far, but most of them have gotten it outside Port-au-Prince, so this is a deadly area, and cholera can spread so easily. I mean, deadly doesn't even do it justice. It's worse than deadly. So the only thing you can do is limit patients' movement, and then you have to dispose of bodies very, very carefully because hundreds of thousands of people, almost everyone, could be in danger of getting it. 1.3 million if it reaches the camps. So what do to stamp out cholera? It's soap and water and purification, water purification tablets and educating the people about the importance of washing their hands. But then you think of what these people have been going through in Haiti, and boy, I hope they don't, that doesn't really truly reach the heart of that camp, because it'd be the saddest thing to see, the terrible photographs that would come out of that. I mean, already it kills you when you look at it, but the way the earth turns so rapidly and Mother Nature ripping apart the earth and some of the other horrendous things that have happened, you know, people in the United States gave a big chunk of money to Haiti. Then it's on to the next thing. Then Chile needs our help or someplace else. That's the way things turn on a dime like that so quickly. So, yes, there are people that are helping and are trying to make the world realize that Haiti hasn't gone away. Let's hope that they have enough of the supplies, the water they need, which that's tough, and the soap and all that other stuff so that they can try to knock it out as the best they can, although pretty tough. All right, WikiLeaks. Last week I talked to a good source at the Pentagon who told me that there is no doubt they do feel the heat of WikiLeaks. And, of course, because they had to hire special people to go through. I mean, when I say hire special people, they had to rearrange people at the Pentagon to pour through all the documents. And now, you know, how much has been released? There's 15,000 more to come. Already published is like 77,000. Then there was altogether 400,000 about the Iraq war, but now these others were held back because what they're doing is they're, at least WikiLeaks is smart enough now to vet through everything and make sure they don't have names, you know, concealing the names of these innocent people, because why do you want to have the sources have to wear a flak jacket and probably be beheaded in some village somewhere when the Taliban finds out who they are? So, I mean, this is no doubt the biggest leak of security information in our history. When you look at the amount of pages of this, if nothing else, and what the pages show or what WikiLeaks is saying is that it suggests that there's far more Iraqis died than was really acknowledged during the years of criminal violence and the stuff that happened back in 2003 going forward with our invasion. That the civilian deaths are really nearly 400,000, and the war logs show it. Now, before that, the number was less than almost 500,000. And these war logs were made public in defiance, certainly, of the Pentagon's insistence that the action puts the lives of the troops and their military partners at risk. Now, see, here's the other twist in this. It's the authentication process. Okay, so there's all these supposed war logs and the dates and times of deaths and all that sort of stuff, but they have to make sure they're authenticated because, what, you know, where are the originals? And WikiLeaks isn't really saying much about that. They're trying to not tell any information about the information that was released. So the Pentagon is not confirming of the authenticity of the stuff that's been released. But the number of people that are poring over the documents, they have to be concerned because, like I said, my pal told me over 100 analysts are reviewing the material that to make sure what's in there, what's accurate, what's not accurate, all that sort of stuff. And the U.S. figures of Iraqis who have been killed, that is what really is the Iraq body count, rather, is what really is sticking in their craw, because the new documents are showing that there's all these unreported deaths that would raise the total of civilian deaths much higher than was originally thought to be. And so what kind of deaths were they that were missing? Were they drive-by shootings? Were they torture? Were they executions? Were they checkpoint killings? All that sort of stuff. I mean, what was it? The Iraqi government had a tally of 85,694 deaths, and security officials, they said, killed between 2004 and 2008. So it's the body count that's really, I think, of concern to the Pentagon and probably the most damaging. Because now what are these 400,000 documents that are out there? What are they going to show? And does it really damage? Does this show patterns, or is there things to exploit? You know, that's what the Pentagon is saying. Jeff Morrell said the release of the Iraqi war material by WikiLeaks, it could potentially undermine our security, saying that the thing is there's a way to wage a tax against us, and this is what you'll see in between the lines if you read in between the lines, which makes us more curious and want to know what those war logs were. I suppose you wait long enough and they're all going to be out there. And WikiLeaks, I mean, this is the deal. If there's allegations of torture and brutality and, you know, by the Shiite security forces, because they mostly were dominated by Shiite, mostly against the Sunni prisoners, well, there you go. I mean, that tells you something when you think of the factions living there. That is explosive. I mean, that's more explosive than, okay, give us the exact body count, I think, because that shows they were trying to cover up how many people died, why they died, because it's saying that the sects basically turned on one another in Baghdad and in other cities. Not that we didn't see that happening and not that there weren't stories about that, but is it worse than was originally reported? How damaging is it to the people that are currently serving? I mean, all question marks flying around until we actually see what it is that's published. But the Pentagon, I can tell you for sure, not happy. Had to put other people to vet it through almost 100 people. So you know they're concerned about what are the specifics that are going to be out there, because they're not looking for it. They weren't looking for it, not thinking that any of their material was going to be released. And a whole ton of it was released. That's the bottom line. Let's talk about this ex-agent who's saying the CIA has so many flaws, or flaws at least that could be exposed and could lead to another attack. Because what an ex-agent is saying is, and he told this to a couple of different shows, including he was on a thing called Newsmax TV, and I happened to see a little clip of it. He's saying that the CIA hasn't eliminated the flaws that limited what was really, let's face it, their effectiveness prior to the 9/11 attacks. And the former CIA agent is Ishmael Jones. And basically that's a pseudonym for the author on this prominent book, really, about the CIA. And he talks about the fact that we'll most certainly face another terrorist attack at some point. It's just a matter of time, because there are too many flaws, and the overconfidence is the scary part. And specifically what he said on the overconfidence: nuclear weapons and 1930s technology are easier and easier to get hands around. And that's the biggest threat, that if you don't do a good job on intelligence and you have terrorist attacks coming in the future, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to have the exposure there. And then saying that Leon Panetta is a politician, and he's more about politics, and that he's not a leader, so there hasn't been big change in the CIA. You know, Panetta, to me, wasn't a great choice for that spot either, for the exactly reason he's saying, that that's what Panetta's about. He's about the connection to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and whoever else, but he's not about the intelligence gathering part of the CIA that is so vital, so vital. You know, how many officers do we have on the streets in foreign countries, and how effective are they? Are they in the United States? Are they out there speaking Farsi, other Arabic countries speaking Arabic or whatever? Yeah, you need the foreign language speakers, there is no doubt. And are they being used to their fullest potential? And that's where he's saying absolutely not. That's not happening. As always, thanks for keeping it here on America Tonight.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Ferry Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose seven of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Didn't have enough problems. Of course, the loss just the other night and the problems, whether or not he's going to come back physically, what happens the rest of the season for the Vikings. It's all still the off-field saga. It continues because Jen Serter, who, of course, is the subject of the NFL's investigation into Favre's behavior, is saying that she's still not going to do a league interview request if she in fact cuts some kind of a financial settlement with Brett Favre. But is there going to be any kind of a financial settlement? It's a very strange deal. There's a lot of things that are shrouded in secrecy, I think, here. It was back October 8th or so that the NFL started to investigate this, and then they reported that Favre apparently had sent these inappropriate messages to her in 2008 when he was the Jets quarterback. She was a hostess for the team. He's admitted that he did leave her voicemails, but not the photographs that are appearing all over this crazy website, Deadspin. So it's kind of a mess at this point. Who better to talk about this with than my favorite lawyer who can sort it all out from the legal point of view? Because does the league even have a case against Brett Favre if they go in that direction? And that would be Clint David. Hey, Clint, thanks for coming on.
You bet, Kate. Can you hear me? I'm here, right here.
Yeah, we got you. Hey, let me ask you a question. So does the league have a case against Favre? I don't even know if they're going to go in that direction. It's looking kind of like they're not.
Well, let me just say, first of all, Kate, that I never thought an athlete could one-up Tiger in the stupidity department. And Brett Favre has absolutely managed to do that. I mean, it's quite remarkable. I mean, what the NFL is investigating is whether or not Favre has violated their code of conduct. And they're going under what they call the workplace violation. In other words, employees of the same company, whether in or out of the office, act inappropriately. And as you mentioned, both Jen Sterger and Favre, this was the time that he was with the Jets. He's admitted, as you say, to leaving voicemails. Now, the rumor is they're discussing a settlement, which we call in the legal business greenmail. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point something's worked out quickly. But the bottom line here is without her cooperation, and as you mentioned, she has not spoken with the NFL yet, without her cooperation, there's no case. Without the phone, without the photos, without the text messages, without the voicemails, there is no case. I mean, you have to have those things to prove a case, and you can't just pull them off a dead spin.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Do you think there's other, just as kind of a sidebar, do you think there are other cases like this that just haven't been made public? I'm thinking there's probably lots of settlements going on.
Absolutely. I mean, these things happen all the time. You get high-profile athletes that get themselves in a little bit of a hot water, put themselves in a very compromising position. Their lawyers or their representatives go out and they make things all right. I mean, you throw enough money at any situation and you can make it go away. I would think that the smart bet here is that Ms. Sturger and Brett Favre will enter into a settlement. She will be paid money. They will enter into a mutual confidentiality agreement. And without the evidence, there is no case, and the NFL will drop their claim. That is probably the odds-on bet.
For the average Joe, how commonplace, though, are workplace conduct cases? How much of this goes into a court of law or gets settled out of court in working environments?
Yeah, I mean, in the real world, rarely. I mean, you're really talking about the sexual harassment laws, and those are difficult cases to prove. It can't just be sort of a one-off sort of incident or random comment. It really has to be pretty pervasive. The interesting thing here is that if this was so offensive to Ms. Sturger, why did she wait 2 years to report it?
Yeah.
In the real world, in order to have a claim like this in the workplace, you've got to report it to your manager immediately to give your employer an opportunity to cure the problem and make sure that it doesn't happen again. So out in the real world, with a two-year delay on a complaint about sexual harassment in the workplace, the case would be pretty weak, I'm afraid, at best, even if in fact it happened.
Yeah, do you think, in saying that, it seems to me, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I have friends in the legal profession, I have friends in the medical profession, kind of all over the board, and I've heard that claims and the possibility of suits and sexual harassment in the workplace are kind of down because now there's so many requirements that you have to watch this video, you have to sign off on XYZ, so really companies are kind of watchdogging it. Do you think that's happening?
Well, sure they are. I mean, you know, there's policies and procedures now that talk about that. It's very expensive. I mean, when people get lawyered up, you know, it gets very expensive. So companies have a very low tolerance level for, shall we say, pigs in the workplace. And they try to nip this stuff very, very quickly and not let it get that far. It still exists, of course, but you don't see that many claims anymore, valid claims, because companies are more careful, and these cases aren't that easy to prove.
Yeah. Well, let's flip to something else that made huge news last week, and we haven't heard the last of this. The federal appeals court reinstates Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the military's, of course, policy forbidding openly gay troops from serving. But the weird thing was there were 7 days in between when it had flipped the other way. So you actually had some military folks who had been booted from the respective branches who got back into the military, did all the paperwork and all that stuff in that 7-day period, and now this happens. So I guess they're safe, right? Because they'd have to be grandfathered in, I'm assuming.
Well, I mean, it's weird. You've sort of got this Twilight Zone ping pong legal match going on where at first the district court grants them, essentially says, look, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law is unconstitutional. So now the Defense Department, the Pentagon says, all right, we're going to now allow openly gay people into the military. A recruiter still can't ask, but if somebody volunteers that they're gay, we can't decline them. Then in this little window of about a week, all of a sudden the appeals court says, time out, King's X, we're going to put a moratorium on this. In other words, we're going to make it go back to where Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still in place until there can be a further hearing. So you're right in this sort of no man's land right now of not being sure what to do. So unfortunately, some people did go back in. They did reapply. They did acknowledge that they were gay during that little window. But now, because Don't Ask, Don't Tell is back in play, that it's really in an awkward situation here. You've got to assume that at some juncture, whether it be through the legislature, now they're going to take this up in the Congress after the election, mm-hmm. or in the courts, that Don't Ask, Don't Tell will go the way of the antiquated laws, only because I believe they're going to determine that it's unconstitutional, and that's what the federal district court determined.
Okay, so if that's what happens, it goes back to the legislature, like you said, and that's what we're going to see happen. But
right.
Also, there's a chance it gets kicked all the way back up to the – couldn't it get kicked up to the Supreme Court, too, because they're the constitutionality that's tailor-made for that?
It can, and the question is going to be what happens between now and then, because now there's this moratorium in place, in other words, saying we're still doing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But all the appeals court said is we're going to grant a moratorium until we can get further argument. So what the appeals court might do is say, make a ruling, and whoever loses will appeal it to the Supreme Court, but they might let the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy go by the wayside until final appeal. So the question is, what happens in the interim between now and the ultimate appeal? I mean, it's interesting, Kate. 29 countries around the world allow openly gay soldiers to serve, including the Israeli Army. And nobody's ever accused the Israeli Army of being ineffective or not ready or lacking cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You've just got to think that this thing is ultimately going to get struck down, either by the courts or the legislature may just make a determination it needs to go away.
Do you think, and there are two different things, I guess, in a way, but ultimately the other battleground for you know, gay folks that they've been fighting and screaming about is gay marriage, and that's a hot potato, too, when it comes to the legal issue. We're going to see this go on forever, I'm assuming, in some states.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that is going to be determined. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to be determined across the board. That's going to be a federal determination. You know, the gay marriage situation is, a lot of it's going to be on a state-by-state basis. And some states will allow it and some states won't. But it is interesting. I think what you're seeing, whether people choose to agree with it or disagree with it, is a bit of a lessening of the restrictions in whether it be gay marriage or gays in the military or a bit of a higher tolerance, perhaps, of this issue in American society. And again, some people may be for that and some people may be against it. But as far as from a pure legal point of view, I think it's got to be fair to say that there is more momentum going in this direction that we're discussing than it has been in the past. I mean, I think you can just look at it objectively.
Yeah, I agree. All right, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Clint David, legal expert. You can check him out at dgmlegal.com. Thanks, Clint.
Kate, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.